Well, I want people to look on at the outtakes at the end of the show and connect it to the beginning of the show, because as we've mentioned it many times, we record the outtakes first. That's what gets us in the mood, gets
That's
us
right.
loose. Mm-hmm. And I had some options. We try to write down options for the openers, for the outtakes when we can, topics that we can like kick off the thing to get somewhere.
Right.
I had a couple options listed for those, and one of them was a quinceañera that I went to last night, and I mentioned that mm-hmm. in the outtakes already. I took that opener topic away from myself.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. And I had another opener topic, and I got to tell you, I started off with quinceañera, and okay. we ended up in the outtakes in Italy. And talking right. about accents.
Yeah.
And that leads me, unfortunately, here to the beginning of the show. And it's just a crazy mixed up world. Because, Brent, I had another question for you.
Mm-hmm.
The other week, you and I were discussing something about yep. Italia. We were probably eating spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
And we had also wondered, because when I was recently in Oklahoma, you
yeah.
graciously gifted me this wonderful Nika?
NECA. Please.
NECA, Toonie Terrors, Ghost Face.
Steven, I don't like when you say it.
Why? Because you don't like when I get naked?
No, that I'm very familiar with.
Okay, good. Because mm-hmm. yeah. if you want, I can put on a Ghost Face robe if that's more to your liking, sir.
Hi, Sydney. Can you see my dick?
It's just you calling Sydney, Australia.
Well, that's a good point, too, because mm-hmm. I had a question for you. This is what we were discussing okay. the other day. You showed me mm-hmm. that. I have a love of Scream, obviously. Those movies are amazing. And we had a talk the other week. I don't know if you remember. And it was Ghostface in the movie is so iconic. That voice, you know? Hello, yeah. Sydney. That deep, gravelly voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Roger Jackson is the guy's name. And he's amazing. He's always been... The long lost Jackson brother. Michael faked his death, and he's been the voice of Ghostface ever since. He was wanting to get wider, and he got the widest he could.
Click.
Hi, hello, Sydney. Do you like scary movies? I'm sure I'm watching some with my monkey Bubbles. You should come over. Wait, you're how old?
Click.
Well, that's one, a different version, right? Alternate takes.
Right, yeah.
I wondered, though, in lots of movies, you know, characters that we know and love, the voices that go along with the actors that we know and love, you know, those get mm-hmm. dubbed into a different languages, that it's not that actor. Like, every once in a while, a Groot, if you will, I heard Vin Diesel actually recorded the voice of Groot for like multiple
Yo soy Groot.
Yeah. He did like a bunch of them, right? Like
yeah.
from what I heard, because it's just like three words. It's easy enough. But I wondered what does Ghostface, what does he sound like? What's the voice sound like in other languages? Like, is there an Italian version of Ghostface out there?
Steven, of course there is. Yeah. Look, and listeners have already heard this punchline in their heads before we even say it. But obviously, Italian Ghostface is Ghostafacci. Steven, I'm so glad you brought this back, because we talked about this off air.
We did. Like weeks ago.
And you said, oh, I'm going to write this down. I completely forgot. I had no idea where you were going until you like broke out
God.
The Ghostface toy. But we did it. And it was worth it. And we're all happy about it. Yeah.
Ghostafacci. Hello, Sydney.
Hello, Sydney. Tell me, what do you do?
Okay, but here's the other thing you introduced a few minutes ago is what if he's calling Sydney, Australia?
Right.
Okay, so can you call me in Sydney?
Oh,
again?
Sure.
Okay. Click. I gotta tell you, I'm already panicking. I cannot for the life of me think of an Italian, or not Italian, Australian accent.
Chris Hemsworth.
Got it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Get my character. Okay.
Okay, there we go.
Okay.
Okay. Do I need to call back?
Yeah.
Okay. Click. All right. Oh boy, my phone bill is gonna be very high. All right. All right. Click.
Hello. Hello, Asin. Oh, hello. How are you doing today?
Just catch up. Was that the sound of you catching a boomerang?
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. I threw it a fucking while ago. Just found it. Just came back to me.
He's got a very strong arm.
Oh, thank you for saying that.
He threw it in January. He just now got it back.
Yeah, we call them homing boomerangs over here. You put a little note on it, throw it in the air, see if someone else finds it, comes back to you, and says, oh, it's a nice note anyway, it's good.
Yeah. If it comes back to you, it's meant to be.
That's what they say.
Anyway, Sydney.
Yeah, all right.
I simply must know. What is your favorite scary movie?
Oh, right. Right, I guess I could say, fuck it, I don't know,
I call.
Probably Mad Max Fury Road, you know? It's the future.
Oh, shit, it turns out that movie a real thick piece of shit.
Hey, now. Fuck you for saying that, are you? Right? Fuck yeah. Jesus fucking Christ. This fucking guy, what'd you call for me anyway?
I want to know what your favorite scary movie is. Turns out it's just a race car movie.
I've lost it. I can't.
I think we both lost our fucking minds.
Sometimes I wonder about the downturn in the listenership, and then I realize, I know. I get it. I get it.
You know, sometimes you put something out there, you just try it out, see how it goes.
Turns out, not very well.
Not
but look,
great.
We're happy with the initial punchline of Gosfachi, you know.
Gosfachi.
Yeah. You know who helped put the kibosh on the pandemic? Gosfachi.
Oh, Gosfachi. Mm-hmm. People don't like him, but I like him.
I mean, look, he did what he could. He got out there, told us to wear our masks, you know. May or may not have had any success, but look, we're not sneezing on each other.
He tried.
Got to do something, you know.
Oh, my God. Well, mm-hmm. Britt, what do you say we're doing it? I'm Steven.
I'm Gosfachi. I'm Brent. It's just me. It's me the whole time.
Oh, my God. He took the mask off. That was crazy. I didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
Man, I your accent is really great, so I didn't know. I wasn't sure.
Spaghetti. Are we back in the show?
We are. We're doing
it. Okay, cool. Okay.
Remix.
So you're Steven. I'm Brent. I don't think you ever did the welcome to.
Let's talk about stuff. We're doing it. Welcome.
Wait, okay. You're Steven. I'm Brent again. Okay. Where are we?
I'm Brent.
Oh, fuck.
Oh,
it's happening.
But welcome to the show. And it's clusterfuck train wreck here at LTAS, but that's the way we like it.
That's the way we like it. You won't even know unless you do. And look, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
I think clusterfuck train wreck, it's kind of a long name, but it's kind of a cool band name.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah.
CFTW.
Fuck yeah.
New CFTW. I like your old stuff first. Yeah. It's our first album. It was still better when I knew about it and you didn't. That's cool. It's the best one.
You're kind of making me feel like a piece of shit just because they're mainstream now and I like them. So.
Well, you know, I guess that you're pretty mainstream. They've got like 7 listeners on Spotify. So,
oh,
you know.
Shit.
Yeah, pretty mainstream.
So pretty good.
You didn't know that. You didn't know about any of it.
No, I didn't.
You didn't know about any stats.
No, I know.
Did you know about stats?
No.
Oh, have you heard the new stats? Oh, God, they're fucking toy.
Okay. When Brent goes indie band, he goes finance bro? Toy.
Oh, dude. Did you hear about, oh, man, the new stats album? You can only buy it with crypto. You can only buy it with Dogecoin, but you have to cash in the Dogecoin at a local garage sale. And oh, then weird, you have to meet this you have to meet this old lady named Janice, right?
Yeah.
And Janice, she doesn't look like it, but she's very techie, okay?
Okay.
And you could tell by the way that she says,
what?
That's the code word. That's why you know you're in.
Huh?
Huh? What?
Are you going to buy my waffle maker?
And that just means that she's ready to accept the Bitcoin, okay?
Oh, damn. I would love to the fact that, like, this would go viral online and everybody would end up this one lady's random garage sale and she'd end up with, like, millions of dollars worth of crypto in some account that she was like, I don't even know what it is. I don't know. I don't know. I think this is a drug front.
Can I take this to the laundromat? I have to wash my welcome mat and it's just, does it take it?
She, like, tries to put her phone in the coin slot.
out damn spot.
Man, Janice sounds like a treat though.
I mean, yeah, she's doing the best she can. She's trying to make some ducats where necessary.
Yeah, it makes sense, man. Everybody's gotta get that second job, third job, fourth job.
Mm-hmm. She's retired. And she just got a new
retired. What'd she do?
She had a garage sale last year and she just finally sorted through it.
You know, I like to think about Janice sometimes. I think Janice is one of those ladies that she was like a lunch lady for a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that was after prison, of course. But she was a school lunch lady. She retired from that. She decided that she was going to make it big. She took all her lunch lady winnings, money, and she went to other garage sales trying to find the good stuff amongst the junk. Then she was going to have her own garage sale. But she never even saw the crypto coming, you know? And right. I didn't want to bring this up, but also Janice didn't see the AI revolution coming. And there are some nudes going around the internet of Janice, but they're not of her. Okay? It's just her face, and it's a fake body, and she's been feeling sad about it. And I just didn't see this. You know, like her whole trajectory has been sad, you know?
It is sad. She deserves crypto. So. What happened to her? Mm-hmm. But I feel like maybe ignorance is bliss for her. And
you think so?
I'm not going to break this down to her. You know, she doesn't need to know. She's on the last couple of seconds of her life. So we'll just keep her in the dark for now. She seems happy, a little bit confused, kind of majorly confused, but
pretty confused.
She's on her way out. You know, she's about to hit the great big recycling bin in the sky, be shipped to China and then buried in the dirt.
That's her dream. I get choked up about it just thinking about it.
I just want to go to China, she would say.
It's like, what do you want to do there?
I don't know, maybe some gardening.
It's like, well, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it.
You will be.
You
will be.
Look, if you want your corpse to be used as fertilizer, congratulations. Wish granted.
You got it.
Yeah.
It's a circle of
right, yeah.
Man, that's a beautiful story about her, and I miss her already.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope she's serving square pizza and tater tots up in heaven.
Why square pizza? Why is that so universal? With those little, like, those tiny ass little, the tiniest cubes of pepperoni you've ever seen in your fucking life.
They spent so much time cutting up those pepperonis that way, I bet you anything.
You know, there was a time years ago on the podcast where you told me about tater tots and how, one, tater tots are just delicious anyway, but I love them even more because you told me that tater tots are really just made out of, scrapped potato pieces from the potato factory.
Right. For whatever, potatoes like French fries, whatever they're making. Yeah.
Exactly.
Where they're born,
And then they glue them together and then you have a tater tot. I wonder if the same is true of those tiny little cubes of sharp pepperoni for those pizzas where it's just like, that's just like all the refuse. Yeah. They scrape them up off the floor and just sprinkle them barehanded on top of the pizzas.
Okay, yeah. So, like, imagine, you know, like a pepperoni is round, And I think it's because, you know, it's like a sausage. When they make that, it's like a tube of sausage, and then they cut it. Well, that's right. But in my head right now, it's more of like a sheet, like when you're making tortilla chips.
Yeah.
So you stamp out the circle, and you got all those little pieces in between.
Right, right.
You know, and then they stamp those out more, cut them up, and those are the little pieces of pepperoni that end up on your pizza.
Well, we've solved this mystery, Stephen.
Well, Janice,
it's a great
did
age
first.
To be alive. Yeah, Jana. Yeah, shout out to
she
Janice.
She let us there.
May she rest in peace.
Well, listen, I for real today, I did actually have a mini topic I wanted to mention. You know, get into some pop culture that we're supposedly built a show for. So, I wanted to mention that our friend Allison had mentioned to me that there was a new show on Netflix called Three Body Problem. And so I checked it out, and I ended up finishing it within like a week for sure, but a few days, and I really dug it. Have you checked it out yet?
I've not, but I heard on a different podcast that somebody said they started it because the hype around it is so prevalent, and they got about 10 minutes into it, and they were like, "Well, I'm getting sucked into this fucking thing." So
that's a good description.
I haven't started that journey. I think the episodes are like an hour ish. Each or whatever.
There's eight of them, so it's not bad.
So I just haven't started it yet, but it sounds interesting.
I would definitely recommend it. This is one of those shows that kind of came out, and I heard about it so much so fast that I was actually kind of at first a little turned off by it. Like, I don't know. Like, there's a lot of – it's almost like this era of streaming. It's just different, and I don't always like the stuff everybody else is watching necessarily. So I was like, yeah, it looks okay. And the trailer I tried to watch ended up being this weird clip. I think I told you in our text group off air and stuff that I watched this so-called trailer on Netflix, and it was just like one scene from the movie that's in the very middle of the series, and it makes no sense outside of the series. And I was like, this is dumb. It's like a bunch of soldiers, like millions of them, with signs that are like white and black, and they just turn them around. And they're doing like computer equations, essentially. It's like they're doing like zero and one. So they're like binary. And it's like it's supposed to be solving like a modern problem in an ancient way. And I was just like, what is happening? And that if that sentence makes, you know, no sense to you, it's like, yeah, what is the show even about? That's a terrible scene to show. I don't know why they did that. And so despite that, and because of our friend's recommendation, I checked it out. And it ended up being really awesome. Once that scene does play out, that's not even a spoiler or anything. It's just when that scene comes out, it makes perfect sense in the context of the show. And then it's kind of actually kind of quick, and then you move on. So I would say that the show, it's like a sci-fi show for sure. It's very global. It's based on some books, you know, that are take place in China. And there's actually a Chinese version of the show as well called Three Body that I saw show up in my Plex as available to watch. That has like 30 episodes or something. But I guess it's like a few books, so I'm excited to see where the show goes. I will spoil that much is that this creates a lot of mysteries, and then it answers some things and then leads you to way bigger stuff in the future seasons. So I'm excited to see where it goes. But it definitely is not a one-and-done thing. You definitely feel like you want more at the end of it. I would positively compare this to the show Lost, especially in the early seasons when the mystery was so big and that was so exciting. It just has a good feeling to it. The characters are really well fleshed out. The actors are really great. And the sci-fi story is really intriguing. And like every episode, you're just kind of like, okay, I don't know what's happening, but what? And you just want to keep going. The first three episodes are a little bit harder to get through just because the mystery is so strong. And then I think by episode four, you start to get into a little bit more of the plot. And then things like once I hit that, I was like, I'm not stopping. So kind of like that guy saying like 10 minutes in, I was definitely hooked. But four episodes in, I was like, I'm finishing this as soon as I fucking can. And so I really liked it. I would highly recommend it. And even for you specifically, I think you would dig it. But pretty much anybody. It's just a good show.
Hell yeah. Isn't this – what is the plot of this show? I think maybe I was conflating this with a different thing.
Oh, okay. I'm curious. So I'm so – a lot. I don't know. Because I didn't see a trailer. I saw a random clip. And I haven't seen a trailer since. Huh, and I've only seen the whole show. I honestly don't know what mysteries are totally secret. There's some mysteries in it that you don't even know about when you start it. And then they pop up in the middle. And they're kind of like the biggest, coolest mysteries. And I'm like, oh, yeah, if I even mention the mystery, it might be a spoiler. I honestly don't know. So It's sci-fi. It's okay. It has to do with, like, in the very beginning of the show, and I think from what I saw from the trailers and stuff, it's like it has to do with, like, the science in our world is not making sense. They've built, like, super colliders around the world and stuff, and they're testing scientific theories, and they're doing that, and they're expecting these results that we've known, we've accepted science, you know, for 100 years or whatever, this whatever theory,
not me,
or whatever.
Continue.
And then they're supposed to prove the answers, and nothing's working. It's like science is breaking all over the world. And therefore, there is a rash of scientists that are committing suicide around the world. Oh. And they don't know why. They don't know when it happens. Like, there's no – it's every single one of them seem to be married to their work, but otherwise happy and never gave any signs. And then they just are offing themselves all over the place. Benedict Wong from Marvel shows up in it. He's like a detective. Super cool to see him as like a kind of a, you know, grizzled little detective and stuff. Mm-hmm. He's one of many, you know, actors that are really great in it. I can't remember her name right now. I got to look it up. But Baby Driver. There's like John Hamm and then his like girlfriend, the other.
Oh, Isaac Gonzalez.
Yes,
I mean, I don't know.
I've never even heard of her, man.
No, who is that?
Yes, Isaac Gonzalez is one of the main characters in this.
I'm going to watch on my phone as you're talking.
There you go. I should have just led with that. And you're like, I'm totally going to watch this.
That's all
So she's one of the main ones. Jess Hong is another one. Her name is Jen in the show. She's another one of the main characters who I really like. I don't know her from much. But it's one of those things too where it's like, oh yeah, then there's going to be new people you're going to find out about that are awesome. So, essentially they're all scientists. They went to school together. They have it's like them and some other guys and stuff. I think there's like five or six of them. They all had a mentor in college. They're big name scientists, all of them. They've become like huge in their careers for all various reasons. Like one as
I mean,
like
it's
CEO.
Very believable. The first time I saw Isaac Gonzalez in Baby Driver, I'm like, I bet she's super into science. You know, this tracks for me.
I get it. I believe it.
She's too
she's
hot to not be into
smart.
Science. You know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Scientists are hot. That's for sure. So
I mean, you know, I'm into it.
So they all had a mentor in college, and she commits suicide. And then they knew her mom. Her mom was also a scientist, I think. They knew her mom and stuff. So there's like parts where like that's kind of what the catalyst for the show is that they all get brought together for like the funeral. And then it kind of is like they start talking again since college, and they're like, hey, none of our science is making sense. What the fuck is happening? And then eventually there's like a whole bunch of mysteries that's where I'm just like, I literally don't know what I'm allowed to say. I don't want to ruin it. I think it's a pretty good show to go in blind. To know that like, yeah, the science is messing up. There's some big mysteries around that. And then there's some big answers, and that leads to a lot more mysteries. And so, I just think like going in with that is enough, and then just try it out. And then the first like episode for second episode, the third episodes, you're kind of like, okay, I'm super intrigued, but I don't know what's happening. And then you kind of get there. So just stick it out, and it's worth it, man.
But at some point, they come across one body, and they're like, this is a problem. Is that right? Okay. Then they come across a second body. This continues to be a problem. Next episode, a third body? This is going to be an issue.
And they look at the camera. Yeah. This is going to be an issue.
Yeah. This one's even weirder than the first two.
My God. That's actually because I told you he was a detective as well. So you called it, man.
How you doing there, sweetheart? I see that you're a corpse. Can I interview you? Who did it?
How come there's never like a TV show like this where like it's like this thick ass mystery of all of these twists and turns and everything? And then like the second to last episode, like mid episode, Jesus Christ just walks in. And he's just like, it was just me. I did it. Here's the whole thing. I set all this up and all this shit happened. Then he just like puts his hands to his side, holds his hips. He's like, so what do you guys want to do? You know, you just want to hang out. It's like an episode and a half of the end of the show.
I fucking pranked you guys.
Yeah.
I got you.
Hi, I'm Jesus Christ. Welcome to Jackass.
They're going to nail me to this fucking board, man.
They put him in the middle of a rodeo. Bull's like thrashing around. Get me off here.
Oh, my God.
Wee Man does a kickflip off of him.
Oh, my God. That's going to be Jackass 4, right?
Is that they have a Jackass 4. Oh, wow. Steven, are you not up on your Jackass movies?
I don't think I'm up on my Jackass movies.
Like, you're not up on the Jackass tetralogy?
I didn't realize it had gone that far.
Oh, my God, Steven. It's incredible.
I watched that fourth
Jackass movie. Came out, I think, in the middle of the pandemic. And, boy, it was a salve for me because laughing so hard, I was crying in my living room just watching this fucking movie. It was just so good to see such stupidity. They've got new actors and stuff in it, you know. It's not like trying to turn this into a Jackass segment, but it is recommended. Okay. Yeah, you know, it is very fun.
There, I don't know her name right now. There's someone I follow on Instagram. She's kind of like a stoner comedian, and she shows up in that. I think she's dressed as like a clown. I don't know what she does in the movie, but I like her a lot on Instagram. And then she was like, oh, by the way, I'm in Jackass. And I was like, oh, fuck. So, yeah, I didn't know this movie existed.
Yeah.
At least a little bit. So, but yeah.
In this movie, the Jackass is a woman. Jackass.
Oh, man, this show's been off the rails, but I've had a lot of fun.
We haven't had an episode like this in a minute.
I know. It's fun, man.
It's good.
Okay. Back to the thing. So, that show, yes. Three Body Problem, on Netflix.
Yes.
Check it out. I'm very curious to hear what you think, Brent. So.
Okay. I am eager to start it. I'll let you know if I travel down them there roads.
That sounds good, man. Sounds good. All right. So, this is another big thing I wanted to mention for this episode. All right.
Let's go.
Oh, spaghetti. We are not doing great with Christians, Italians, Mexicans, Australians.
I think Wee Man is pissed off now. Female jackasses.
He is. Yeah. Those female jackasses are fucking pissed. Okay. So we have a buddy. Mitch Oliver, who is co-host of the Terror Table podcast. And it's been a while now, a year ago or two, did a short film that we have been pimping on this podcast for a long time called The Druid's Hand. That is an awesome little piece of like folk horror. It's got some cool effects. It's pretty short. It's worth your time. You can find it on YouTube, The Druid's Hand. Definitely check that one out.
What made me laugh just now is I've heard the term folk horror before, but it really just now clicked on my head. I'm the mental image of John Denver wearing a ghost face mask. They popped in my head.
Hi, Sydney. You ever gotten Rocky Mountain High before?
Yeah, that's actually pretty good, man.
Yeah.
He made this short film, The Druid's Hand, that we really love, and definitely go check that out. And then he,
on YouTube.
Easy to find for free as well. He had mentioned to us, or kind of released it in line, whatever. He had been telling us that he'd been working on some more projects, he wanted to do more, and we were excited to see whatever he came out with. And then all of a sudden, he was involved with a new movie that they were working on that was going to be something he was a co-director with. And I'm trying to look up the info for this right now, because it's not like it's available everywhere right now. But this new movie he has been working on is now out, and it all kind of happened really fast. So I'm really thrilled about it. But it was Mitch Oliver is our friend. The other co-director is Tesh Gutikonda. I hope I'm saying that kind of right. I'll ask Mitch off air. But so Tesh and Mitch made this movie all of a sudden, and we got to see some behind the scenes stuff as they were like, it was on Instagram. They were like posting that they were working on this, and it was like, oh, this is cool. And then all of a sudden they were like, hey, this is going to be on Tubi. It's going to be a Tubi original. And it was like, fuck yeah. And it was just so great to see a friend, you know, blossoming, coming into his own as a filmmaker, and not only seeing like his passions being, you know, you know, coming to fruition and stuff, but to actually see them play out and be like awesome. So he made this movie, and then all of a sudden the other day he also just released like, hey, it's fucking released, it's out, it's open, it's out on Tubi. Mm-hmm. And man, I was shocked. I don't think we knew that at all. I don't think he'd announced it, or maybe I'd missed something, but I was so thrilled that day when he said it was on, and I had to watch it immediately.
Yeah, you had like texted me that it was available, and we should go ahead and just say the name of the Tubi movie.
I haven't said it this whole time.
Nope. The name of the name of it is Lowlifes.
Lowlifes.
And it's a Tubi original, and much like The Druid's Hand, it is free to watch. Just fire up the Tubi
I love it.
App. And by the way,
yes,
Tubi
let's talk
is
about it.
Doing the Lord's work. You know, like for a long time I was bitching about Amazon Primes or Prime Video or whatever the fuck you want to call it, their interface, and it just seemed like clunky and like Janice from soon to be death designed that interface, and it took him a while before they redesigned it, and it's like slightly better. But I feel like Tubi recently, over the past like month or so, they redesigned their logo, they redesigned their like interface on the app on both your phone and the like our Apple TV apps, and it's just like a smooth, seamless transition. It's great. Now it is free. There are commercials kind of like peppered throughout the movie, but I counted, I think it was like four different commercial breaks.
Oh, nice.
They were all four different commercials when I was watching the movie, and they were at like points where it was like kind of a natural break. It didn't like interrupt any like dialogue or whatever. It wasn't like anything that was jarring. So, and also at one point I was like watching the movie, I thought, okay, I'm gonna watch this, and the next time there's a commercial, I'm gonna get up to get a snack. And I did. And then I was snacking. And then I said, on the next commercial, if there is one, I will put the cereal back. And I got another commercial. I was like, God damn it. All right. So I had to play by the rules, but put it back. But all that to say, goddamn, Mitch, you did it. You know, it was so enjoyable.
It is and not so even fucking fun.
And not just enjoyable because like he's our friend and we want to support him.
I know.
I never want anyone to succeed but me. I think I've made that patently clear.
Right.
Steven, I'm actively sabotaging The Haunt is Alive right now. It's just a campaign I've decided to launch to make everyone feel as miserable as I do this year.
That's smart.
but it really was fucking fun to watch. So I highest apocalyptic recommendation. I would say, you and I talked about this before either of us had seen the movie, that the best idea is to just like go in and watch it blind.
Yes, because, don't watch a trailer. Yeah.
Yeah. When I went to my Tubi app on my phone, I was at work when you had texted me. I immediately pulled up my Tubi app and I've searched the movie, found it. I tapped on the icon for it and it immediately pulls up the video and starts playing. And I was like, oh, no. So I just quickly added it to my watch list, waited till I got home. And I actually watched it last night on Saturday night as we're recording this. Mm. Even when we're not recording this, I did watch this on a Saturday night. I don't know why I thought that was important. Anyway. But I wanted to make sure that I could sit down and watch the movie all in one go.
Oh, okay.
And
which we don't usually do.
We don't usually do. I thought about doing it on Friday, but you had texted me, hey, are you watching it? And I said, no, I'm going to get Sucker Punch Extended Cut out of the way.
Right.
Just because it's just so daunting.
Good decision on your part.
Yeah. And then the next day I thought, oh, maybe I'll watch this. Like, you know, I've got some free time on Saturday during the day. Maybe I'll watch it. And I thought, no. I want to pay this movie the highest possible respect by waiting until it is dark outside. So I watch it at 10 p.m.
Ooh.
As soon as the stroke of 10, I threw this bad boy on. I watched it. I loved every moment of it.
There's excellent.
A, you know, there's a cold open to this movie that I don't want to spoil anything.
Well,
you know?
Should we could give like the plot first, and then maybe that'll help you decide if that is worth it on there. So, and again, this is like it's hard because I have watched the trailer since then, but I don't really know what was spoiling it, because this is one of those movies where it takes a concept and turns it on its head, and then it kind of turns it on its head and turns it on its head, and then it looks the other way and it comes back and you're like, what? There's a lot of they don't feel cheap. There's a lot of twists and a lot of like I don't know. They don't feel like M. Night Shyamalan's, like, it's not all hinging on that. It's just kind of like giving you something and changing it up. So all that to say, this is essentially one of those stories of like city family meets rural family. It's like city family in an RV going through the countryside, and then they stay the night with some country bumpkins, if you will. And it's like, who can you trust? And there's murder afoot. There's you know, some dastardly plans being planned. But throughout that, you get a lot of different, you know, cool characters. You get a lot of, like I said, twists, and you kind of like trying to figure everybody out the whole time. It's very modern, very cool. And it starts like a lot of modern movies do. Starts with one of those killer openings that's just kind of like this little punch in the gut.
Yeah, and it like it kind of jumps into it immediately that way. It's kind of a short scene, but it really gets into it. And it wasn't until like I was halfway through the movie where I was like, "Oh wait, that was was that person? Did you okay?"
Yeah,
I was like,
"Man,
I'm so
thing.
Stupid." I was like, "Oh okay, I get it."
They kind of reference it many times, and I just didn't even connect it. And then all of a sudden, I was like, "Oh wait!"
I was so into the movie,
right?
And I thought all the characters were interesting. Mm. And there were like several women in the movie that all had distinct personalities and had their own motivations and their own thing going on. And, you know, not one of them was a charcoal skinned demon woman like I was hoping for. I just wanted her to come back so badly, you know. I miss her.
You know, he's talked about future plans, you know, feature length plans for A Druid's Hand. So maybe someday you'll get your charcoal skin lady back.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm totally agreeing with you. Even going back to the Tubi logo and the, I hadn't watched anything on Tubi in a while. And that not only the logo, they have like an animation that plays and like a noise. Like
oh
a,
my God.
Know, sound. And it's like, it's so fucking fun, man. And the way it's, like the dot kind of goes back and forth on there, like the animation is solid. Like it just looks fun.
It's purple and yellow. Doesn't look like all my other
so
blue
nice. Right.
icons.
Something
Jesus
different.
Christ,
Tubi's
guys.
Doing
get
right.
another one. Yeah.
And look, you and I, back in the day, we would kind of equate Tubi and Fubo together. And Fubo is a piece of shit. As far as I know, we've never been in it. We can't
it's
can't
impossible.
Get in it.
Like, it's not part of this reality that I will ever be able to access, you know?
It's out of all the streaming services, it is the drug front, for sure. It doesn't actually stream anything.
For sure.
Right. They just need to hide some money trails, so... But Tubi, I was sleeping on. I really didn't understand what it was. And then it was the other co-host of the Terry Table, Boozy, that had been pimping it so many times. So many movies he mentions are from Tubi. And then I realized, like, yeah, it's awesome. It's how I watched some of the Art the Clown movies. I can't remember which one was on there. So that was...
I'm sorry. Please put some respect on his name. The film series is Terrifier.
Sure. But his name, I put respect on his name over the film series title, yes? I'm saying right. I follow him like I follow Ghostface.
Hey,
you know,
you can have it this time, but watch yourself, counselor.
Okay, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize you and Art were best friends.
I mean, he seems pretty fun. He seems like a fun guy. I'm excited for this third Terrifier movie.
I get it, man. I thought about watching one of those the other day randomly. I mean, was like, I'm sold on him, dude.
I was some coworkers of mine recently were telling me that they are not into horror. I was like, should I tell them to just jump into Terrifier 2?
Go straight into it. No, tell him Lowlifes. It's just like, it's like not even gory, no big deal. Just watch Lowlifes, no big deal.
Well, this is before I had seen Lowlifes, but yes, Lowlifes is going to be an ongoing recommendation. And matter of fact, when I was watching the movie, especially like as it got toward the end of the movie, boy, that ending. It really there was a literal jaw-dropping moment.
Yes.
And it reminds me of a movie that we watched somewhat recently. I'll say I'm going to be vague about this, it was a surprise ending to me, and my jaw dropped.
You're going to tell me off air.
I was like, I'll tell you off air. But I was like, holy shit! I hope this movie gets released on like iTunes or something. I want to buy this movie.
I certainly
want to
buy
it.
Yeah. I hope. I don't know if they can do like what the plans are for that. They did some really cool stuff because it was like a Kickstarter campaign or whatever, Indiegogo, whatever I can remember it was for Druid's Hand. This one was like a finance movie, but it was just so rad. Going back to what I was saying about Boozy and telling us about Tubi and stuff, like I didn't understand what Tubi was. And now I do, and I love Tubi. And so when Mitch said his movie was coming out on there, I was like, that's fucking awesome. Like, a Tubi original?
Yeah.
Like, that is, like, a mark of honor, especially for a horror mm-hmm. film. I think the only thing above that I was, is if he had, like, a – if it was, like, a Shudder original, you know, that would really be my number one. But Tubi is fucking great. So that's, like, it means something, and it has a certain quality to it. But, Brent, you said you watched it, like, at 10 o'clock at night, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a good plan. I actually – I started this movie. I was so excited. I started it and I couldn't finish it in one go because my stupid wife got home and she wouldn't let me watch the rest of the movie. No, she got home and we were going to make dinner. And then I was like, the whole night I was like itchy to get back to it. And I finally finished it. Like I turned it on like at 11 or midnight and finished it out. So that was awesome. But, yeah, like you said, it has so many jaw dropping moments. It, I think I was going somewhere else with that, but I keep thinking about different things and I'm so like excited about different parts of the movie. It was the actors involved. A lot of them are like character actors or some people that I recognized. So that was really fun, but they all did so great in their roles. Like you said, they had great, strong female characters, central to the plot. And, some of the most beautiful moments in the movie are with them, that I don't want to spoil some stuff, but, yeah, just from top to bottom, it was just fucking fun. And that there's two different moments that actually made my jaw drop. One of them, I was alone watching this. I audibly squealed. I was like, oh, because it really like fucking threw me. And it wasn't like a scary squeal. It was like so shocking to me. And it was just like so fucking cool. And it's one of those like once I finished it, I couldn't stop thinking about it. And it, again, it is our friend. This is one of our you know best podcasting buddies. We've been chatting with him offline for a lot like years now. He's awesome. I would totally pimp this movie regardless, but I told him the other day when we were texting, I was like, I don't want to blow like too much smoke up your ass. You're a fucking twat, but this movie is fucking great, you know? And it really truly is. And, I've watched it three times since then. Three times total this weekend. I think it came out like on Wednesday. We record this on Sundays. I watched it like Wednesday or Thursday night. I watched it again, Friday night. And I put it on again last night when I got home. I don't think I finished it, though. I fell asleep. But so maybe 2.5. But I partly because I know Mitch and I can get into his brain after this and kind of dissect the film from a filmmaking perspective and a directing perspective. Mm-hmm. He's really great about answering those questions and stuff. That stuff's cool as well. I want to watch it for that reason. But it's like I found a new movie on Shudder and I had no idea what it was. And I just, you know, fell in love with it. So.
It really does have the energy of a movie that one would stumble across, enjoy the shit out of, and then like recommend to all their friends, you know? And that's what we're doing right now. Like people need to watch this movie. It's so much fun. It's like dark and there are bits of like gore, but it's gore. It's not like supernatural. It's more like just, you know, killer, like knife stuff, you know, that type of thing. But it's still a lot of fun. Like,
yeah.
They're just like different turns in the actors' personas that you see, and you're just like, oh boy, this is. They were really just like acting their asses off, and it has the feeling of everyone having a good time while making the movie.
Yeah. Same. Yeah.
Yeah. It was the way very you said, enjoyable.
The way like stumbling upon it, I wish I could have found this movie like on a video store shelf or something. But even more than that, it feels like a movie you stumble upon on TV. Like it's like late at night and it's like USA Up All Night or TNT or TBS or some shit. Mm-hmm. And like the modern commercials in it were fine. Tubi doesn't put too many in there, like you said. And there's they were varied, so it wasn't like overwhelming or whatever. But I kept thinking I would love a cut of this movie that isn't like I bought it on iTunes and I can watch it all in full. I want a cut of this movie that has like retro commercials in it. In those spots.
Oh yeah.
I would totally watch this and love every minute of it if it would like cut away and it was like, you know, 1990s Folgers commercial. And then it went back into the movie, you know? Like it has it has one of those vibes like there are cell phones, but it almost feels like the 90s. Like it their RV is a little bit older, the house is definitely old. The stuff they wear, you know, like the 90s are back sort of too, but like it has this like 80s 90s sort of aesthetic to it almost, like so yeah, it just had a good vibe that way. But I remember what I was trying to get to earlier when I asked you, it started at 10 o'clock. Did you notice when you started at Brent, the I knew this from the very first 4 seconds of this movie. I knew I was going to love this movie, and I knew you were going to love this movie, because as the countdown starts down for the timestamp, it says 1 hour, 30 minutes, and 4 seconds. Yep.
I saw that on the thing.
Yes.
I pulled it up, and underneath the title on the little page on my Apple TV, it said that it said Low Lives 2024, 1 hour, 30 minutes. And then I was celebrating in my head before I even started. Cause in my head, I was like, God, this could be like 1 hour and 48 minutes or whatever. And it's like 18 minutes. Normal. You know, what is that really?
What is that?
But there's also something about being so precise and concise and respectful of one's time.
Right.
Where you're like, I got 1.5 hours done. And it didn't feel like any scene was rushed through. Didn't feel like any scene was wasted either. Like any
They're
bit of dialogue
in,
was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every bit of dialogue was furthering the character development or laying out the plot or the movie really built on itself. And there were certain things where I thought, you know, if this bit of this information about this new character didn't happen here, but happened later in the movie, it seemed like, oh, well, that's a coincidence. But they lay it out in a way to where it's like, oh, no, they have this skill that they can do that's going to come in handy for later in the movie. And it just works really well. And anytime there's an insert shot of an item or something that you see earlier in the movie, you have this feeling like, oh, this is going to be important, but it's not in a way where it's flashy or interrupts the flow of what's going on. It's just like perfectly well done. I like the color of the movie. There's points where they're
in
like the countryside, and the grass is so like vividly green, but it's not like too overly saturated. Does it look like a Mick G music video from the 90s? But it just looks nice. It looks pleasant. There's a coziness about it as well.
It's a cozy horror movie. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. So
that's a high praise for me. Yeah. A cozy horror movie. That's exactly what I'm looking for. That's what Scream is to me, you know? And this one is has some pretty gory moments. I knew you mentioned that earlier, but they feel, to me, it's fun. It's horror, so it's fun, and sometimes it is a funny way. But they're also like, I kind of celebrate the kind of even though this is finance, like the indie spirit of like filming a movie really quickly and doing all this like really fun bloody stuff, and all of it looks really fucking killer. Like I think from the makeup to the special effects, everything like just looks really solid. I was very impressed that it's like, you know, our boy made a fucking movie. Like, for real. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Good on you, Mitch. Fucking great, man. I can't wait to see what's coming up from you next. And off air, I'm definitely going to ask you a lot of questions about this. So,
yeah, for sure. Answer all of our questions. What was catering like? Did you have Hot Pockets? You had croissant pockets? You had croissant pocket money? Jimmy has croissant pocket money. Oh, my God. This is incredible. They had ham and cheddar.
Oh. What?
Can you believe such a thing? That is like usually my first question. It's like, what did you guys eat?
That's a good question. I noticed in the credits, because I could not unfortunately give this the respect that I wanted to watch it in one sitting. And I do apologize, Mitch. As I said, my wife came home. So she got me in bed with a movie again. And we had some words, so. But I thought about having an affair with a movie so much in my head just now that I forgot where I was going with that. I was like, yeah, I would have an affair with a movie. That's the only way I would do it. It would be Scream, probably.
She walks in, you're like, hello, Sydney.
But I do remember where I was going. I did give it the respect of fully watching the credits, partially to see if there was anything at the end. But I like to do that when, like Interstellar, I did that. Like any movie that just really kind of floored me, or especially that I know that someone involved. And I noticed that at one point it said something to the effect of like craft services / like nursing services. And it listed like two names. And I was like, oh, yeah, I like that. Double up. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about if they were like mid Hot Pocket making and they were like, oh, someone's cut, throw the hot pockets down. We gotta go. You know, like they like, get a different bag out so they can like nurse them up. You know, so.
Oh, that kind of nursing. I thought it was like they're making like grilled cheese sandwiches, and then also they see a baby walking nearby. They start lactating. Like, well, okay, here we go. I got you covered, ma'am. It's a fat dude named Carl. He's out there. Let me shave the hair off these nips real quick.
Carl's really good, though. Very gentle.
He's really good. Oh, my God. Babies
love
him.
Lots of milk.
Yeah.
Good old boy.
Oh, no. There's a lactose there. He's lactose intolerant. I got 2% on this other one.
Yeah, got it installed last year.
Yeah.
Cost a lot of money up front, but...
Catch me in the summer. I got some strawberry milk.
Oh, my God. I'm at the farmer's markets on Sundays.
That's right. Yeah.
I just squirt it right into your jar.
You want some chocolate milk? He just takes like a mouthful of like quick powder. Okay, give me 8 hours.
Oh, damn. Anything else for you to say about lowlifes, sir?
Like I have a lot to say, but I'm sure we'll do a deep dive on it at some point. We definitely want to have Mitch on to discuss it. But yeah, like you said, congrats to him. Congrats to the other director. Congrats to the whole crew. I hope it is well received by everyone else who watches it. Mm-hmm. I haven't checked with the Erie International podcast yet to see if they've watched the movie. I don't know if they've updated it. As of right now, they haven't put out a new episode that I'm aware of, but I hope they watched it and like it and can help spread the word.
Right.
I hope that, you know, this other horror podcast called The Terror Table discovers this movie.
Right.
Perhaps upon our recommendation and watches it, they discuss it. I feel like they could really help spread the word about it as well. So, you know,
that's right.
If you like the movie, watch the movie. And you'll like the movie. So just go ahead and watch the movie.
Well said. Well said.
You know what? Get yourself a case of Miller High Lifes and watch Low Lifes and have yourself a grand old time, you know?
Have a high life with a low life. That would actually pretty well fit, I think, with this. So,
you know,
you also made me think from the Terror Table, Mr. Boozy himself has a short film coming out. I'm not sure when. I know it's soon. And he's been also teasing stuff. So I'm really looking forward to that. So those boys are killing it. And I want to see everything they come out with because they're awesome.
I thought it was coming out in December of this year.
Oh, fuck. Is it? Do I have to wait that long?
I don't know.
Boozy.
I don't know about anything. I didn't even know Low Lifes was coming out.
I know.
Until you texted me.
That's one of my questions for Mitch. Is like, why? Where? What happened? Yeah. Why? Mm-hmm. That's the only thing is I'm like, why is this not in IMAX? I don't understand. You know?
Yeah.
So that's it. But it's out and that's awesome. I was so thrilled. But, you know, there's no buildup. And I just got to release the juice, you know?
Yeah, rest in peace, exactly. OJ. Yeah. Oh, my God. Too soon, you know? Some
rest in pieces, OJ?
I mean, you know.
I don't want to rest in peace for him, so.
Sorry. That's not my joke, but I heard this
on gone bad. What are you saying?
Oh boy. I was gonna say this is not my joke, but on a different podcast, I heard someone say, like, I guess he had like passed away because of cancer, and the joke was that cancer is supposed to release a book that says it's called If I Did It.
Well, that's okay. I heard a similar joke online, like written down from like a tweet that was like the cancer said, well, the glove didn't fit, so I had nothing
you
to
must
do
have quit
this.
You know,
yeah. So apparently it's going around, man. All right, so get into our main topic.
Let's do this thing.
Let's do it.
There we go.
We did Sucker Punch. It's so much setup. While I was in Oklahoma visiting you recently, we were getting hammered, and you suggested Sucker Punch, and I thought that was a great idea because I hadn't seen Sucker Punch in a while, and we watched it, and I used to like it, That's why I was excited. And then we realized quickly, like, this movie is not great. And we did a little mini review last week, people will remember. But then we found out, and we talked about it during that episode, that there was an extended cut. And there's also a rumored Snyder cut, a further extended edition that changes a lot of things that Mr. Zack Snyder wants to release. But this extended cut goes, it adds a lot. It's like 20-something minutes, I think. I can't remember exactly what the numbers were, but... and it also goes from a PG-13 to an R rating. That's something I had to read about afterwards and be like, oh yeah, I guess so. But, they added in some like more violence and sexual stuff, even more than they had, and, added some big scenes back in, changed some context and stuff. But, we had done that movie, the regular movie. And then we talked about how we found out there was an extended cut. We found out it's hard to buy online. And, then we were able to stumble upon a copy of it, somehow, and watch said extended copy. And I texted you, Brent, because I said, hey, I found a copy. Here you go. And you said, awesome. Let's do it for the podcast. And I said, oh, wait, well, what?
No. So what had happened is you had texted me that you found a copy. That was it. And in my head, I interpreted that as, oh, Steven wants to do this for the next episode. So I texted back, oh, yeah, this is a great idea for the next episode. And you were like, wait, what? I was like, oh, sorry. You know what? I misread it. I don't know why I interpreted it that way, but yeah. False alarm. Good. We won't have to mess with this. And then kind of back and forth, we were like, but like, should we? And then like,
right.
So we kind
of...
As a stunt watch, and we were like,
yeah,
look, let's... We're coming up upon, you know, a big number here soon. And so maybe we burn this one, you know, we watch the extended cut of Sucker Punch. We go all in and then we don't have to talk about this movie ever again until obviously Snyder Cut is released, you know,
and then we'll have to now, we're legally required.
We're recording this on April 14th on the 19th, the second part of Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon.
Oh, it's coming out.
Netflix movie comes out. So this is kind of like decent timing, all things considered. You know, this is sponsored content. We are hopefully making thousands and thousands of nothing from doing this. But
I was about to say this is a Snyder Cut episode, but it would be one of our 3 hour plus ones. And it's definitely not going to be that because I'm running out of hard drive space.
That's true, very true. Cast is basically what we said last time, you know. Yeah, there's additional stuff, you know how it goes, and then also
Zack
the movie
Snyder
is longer than before. Yeah, so there you go.
So I did write some stuff down, and I have some questions for you, mostly it has to do with did you like it more when it's longer or different?
I thought the movie was maybe more cohesive in this version of it.
Agreed.
But I will say that when we watch just regular regular version of Thuckapunth, it's like Mike Tyson saying it, Thuckapunth. whenever we watched the regular version of Sucker Punch a couple of weekends ago, you know, I was like, we'd had a bit of libationing, and I was like falling asleep in the middle of it, and we kind of watched it over the course of a couple of nights, and it, you know, I was really losing my place in the movie and everything.
It
wasn't cohesive at all. So maybe it's not an exact one-to-one comparison, but I do feel like it was easier to keep track of what was going on in this movie, and there were... Mm-hmm. There were just like certain things where when I was watching this movie, I was like, oh, they should have cut this out. And I'm like, oh, I bet they did the regular one, you know. But yeah, it was OK. It was not as much of a chore to watch this version of it, even though it is longer.
Why? That's so weird.
Maybe this movie it takes a couple of viewings to really like. I don't know. That can't be true. I was going to say maybe it takes a couple of viewings to like really like get the nuance of it, but I don't know. Maybe it's that first time we rewatched it together, it was just jarring to be like, wait, what is happening? Like, what is the motivation of any of this? How is this actually playing out or whatever?
Right.
But this time it seemed, like I said, a bit more cohesive. But it's kind of like the Snyder cut of Justice League, where I was like, mm-hmm. oh, this is more cohesive. This is a better film. It mm-hmm. almost tricked me into thinking this is a good movie. And that's how I feel about this extended cut, where it's like, oh, I get what he's doing. I don't really care for it, most of it.
Right.
Not for me.
I'm going to say 2 points back to yours, and I'm going to go in reverse order. And that's because I was excited to talk about Lowlifes for Mitch on this episode yeah. because he was inspired to finally go into filmmaking because of the Snyder Cut. That's what,
right? Yeah,
that's like famously what he and a friend that were drinking watching that, and they decided to actually make this thing work. And so I think that he'll appreciate that. Also, for this movie, like it is more cohesive. It does feel, I don't know, it felt when I first watched like the first 30 minutes of it, I was like, man, mm-hmm. I'm actually kind of into this. And I wasn't in the first 30 minutes last time. Mm-hmm. And I think it's hard, though, because we did just watch it. So is it more cohesive? Is it like we already remember it so we can fill in some of those gaps? Like if my mind wanders, I don't know. I already saw it again like a few weeks ago. So but I had to watch this in chunks again. I watched it like 30 minutes. I basically stopped whenever it went to the fantasy sequences. And then I realized trying to watch it after that, I had to like start and stop this movie like six times. I just could not get into it. And it's the fantasy sequences. I basically was like, I don't care about any of these. And I ended up just skipping them. Since we just watched it, I was like, I don't care about them. I ended up learning that they added a lot of little scenes or changed editing, added more gore, more like killing, mm-hmm. more sex stuff throughout the movie in little parts. But I was just like, none of this is like appealing to me. It just doesn't look good. The effects are bad. We talked about that last week. It just doesn't. I was just like, I don't care. Like, I more cared about the actual story of the girls being hurt and what they were doing to free themselves. You know.
Yeah, agreed. It was in this viewing for the extended cut where the special effects didn't really like bother me as much. Mm-hmm. But I guess maybe I was just more into the movie this go round, kind of from the beginning to where I was able to kind of see past that and just recognize, oh, this is from 2011. Okay, cool. I can just roll with it, you know. I feel like CGI has evolved since, for sure, but it wasn't as jarring as when we watched the theatrical cut a couple of weekends ago, at least to me. That said, I'm totally on board with what you were saying. Like the action scenes are where I really started to tune out, and I think it's because it is like an action scene and it has like a bunch of like spectacle to it, but none of it is really fun. You know, mm-hmm. there's no joy to any of it. And it's just really confusing mm-hmm. when you first see this, because it's a girl who is supposed to dance in such a way that she can like mesmerize whatever clients are coming by this girl's home or whatever. We got to break down this plot, maybe, if we can. But she starts to kind of like sway back and forth, and then she enters this like fantasy realm where Scott Glenn lives, evidently.
Yeah.
And he's got a thousand different jobs. This fella has hobbies.
He's trying to make it in this gig economy.
You know, yeah.
It's even affected Scott Glenn.
Of course.
Wow.
And you have all these action scenes, but there's no like personality to it.
Yeah.
And it just feels very hollow. And it just seems like you're kind of waiting around for something to make sense, and it doesn't. And then I don't know, it's just very confusing, because she goes in this like trance like state, but in this state she's able to find new information. But it's like stuff she wouldn't know inherently. It's not like she's deep diving into the recesses of her psyche. It's her talking to Scott Glenn, who's like giving her detailed information that she wouldn't have had otherwise. So unless she's got like telepathy or whatever, she wouldn't be able to like find this information anywhere else. And then when we have the other girls involved, it's like, how do they work? Are they all just like gently swaying in this dusty ass kitchen together, and like that's how they're all working together? Or I don't know.
It doesn't make sense, because they don't actually show the real life of what's happening to them. Like, what is her dance like? You never see it. So they just, you come out of these fugue states and you're like, they're all like crying and just like clapping like crazy people. Like, that was the best dance we've ever seen. And meanwhile, I'm like, that was a boring ass action sequence I had to just watch. And I didn't even get to see anybody dance.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening? It's just like, what's happening?
There's a better dance sequence at the end of Napoleon Dynamite than there is in this movie. And that's what I'm choosing That's what I'm choosing to go with. Can you make a cut of this with like Canned Heat start playing?
Dude, I would love like AI. That's a good use for AI.
Yeah, there you go.
Put Baby Doll's face on John Heater's body. Yeah. Splice that into the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, man. Yeah. I think I understand, like, at least from the other week when we were watching it together, and there's parts you're like, I don't know what's happening. I don't understand what this is going on, or like how this is connected. I could see some of those connections. It's more that I don't care. I just feel like it's poorly done. And maybe that's part of your thing too. It's just kind of boring. And I think that's one of the big criticisms we came away last week. I had found one online that was like, how can you take a movie with all of these elements in it? Mm-hmm. These like great soundtrack supposedly, and like these big fantastical sequences and these awesome girls doing these kick-ass moves, and the movie's boring. Like, what happened?
Yeah.
And I didn't change my feelings watching it extended for sure. So
yeah, I would say like Oscar Isaac's role is interesting to me because you could tell he's like fully in it, and he's just a pure villain through and through, as we're going throughout the movie.
Right,
and he's got that that like song and dance sequence in the extended cut with everyone's
Carla
favorite
Gugino.
Actress Carla Gugino, and it was like pleasant to see, even though it was like, oh, this didn't need to be in the movie. And then this is the scene I was telling you about. I was like, oh, it wasn't previously.
Oh, right.
But it was like kind of fun to watch, you know?
Yeah.
At
least you get to see him dance and sing.
Yeah.
For once.
Exactly.
And it's like relatively fun. It does feel like just like, yeah, I understand why they cut this, but, and Zack Snyder's twisted little mind. Yeah. I can see why it works.
Like they had to learn a song. They had to learn choreography, and then it wasn't in the movie. Like, it got cut, and it wasn't until like 2024 when you and I discovered this. And like, okay. There you go.
There you go. And we just moved past it, right?
Mm-hmm. For the most part, yeah.
Yeah, so one of the things I was telling you off air, maybe a little bit on here already that I've forgotten about, that is that I did keep trying to watch this movie, and I was really looking forward to. No, I wasn't really looking forward to watching this movie for this podcast. Mm-hmm. I was looking forward to talking to you, but not about this movie. And then after we decided on this, Mitch surprise dropped his movie. So not only did I have this movie that I was like, I'm not that excited about it, I now had a movie I was really excited about. And as I previously mentioned, I watched that one a few times, and I did that instead of this one. So right before the podcast, I kind of panicked and realized I hadn't finished it, and I at least needed to watch the known scenes that were extended or added in and stuff.
Sure.
Particularly, I'd heard about one with John Hamm as the high roller in the fantasy realm version of this, and then he's the lobotomist in the real world version of this. And mostly in the regular movie, you only see him as the lobotomist, but there's a whole scene that gets added in where he and Baby Doll are kind of talking. He's about to take her virginity. He has paid for this right or whatever, but that scene I'd heard about, we can talk about it in a second if it really changed the tone for you, but I kind of needed to know what was changed as well. I don't remember if I've ever mentioned this on the air before. There's a website called moviecensorship.com. It's movie-censorship. Sounds like a website I would never want to go to, but what it actually is it just lists lots of great things. So like, you look up Sucker Punch and it'll say comparison, theatrical version, extended cut. And then whoever does this is crazy. They take screenshots. They do it by the second. They will label like 5.5 seconds were changed. This order was rearranged. There's a gun here for a second instead of like a shot of a flower. There's like all these things. So it's really detailed, and it'll give you context about what's been changed and why. And so they talk a lot about the PG-13 to R rating. That's how I found out a lot of the fantastical war sequences were like extended and stuff. And I was like, I don't care. What I did care about are any more scenes. So this was, since I hadn't watched the full thing unfortunately, for this podcast. I needed a little guide, so I used that as it, and I'd recommend it for lots of things. It's fascinating just to go see like alternate versions, or like, you know, like all those like Judd Apatow movies that came out with like unrated versions. It's like, well, what changed? This will list all those things and why. So it's kind of nice if you kind of quickly forgot or want to know. And but yeah, it definitely leads into that, you know, that final scene with John Hamm, where he is talking to Baby Doll. Essentially, he's saying he can pay for anything, but the one thing he can't buy is honesty and someone to actually love him. And he wants her to give herself willingly to him. And then she seemingly gives him a look that says yes. And they start to kiss, and then it flashes up to the lobotomy, and he has jabbed her in the skull, and all her memories have disappeared. Mm-hmm. And he has this line in the regular movie where he's like, "Did you see the way she just looked at me?" Mm-hmm. And it's implied that like she had a moment of clarity that he realized she was sane right before he just fucking lobotomized her. And in the new context, it's kind of like, oh, she was looking at him like she wanted it, like sex, and now it's like she wanted a lobotomy. And I guess it gives a little bit more context, but I honestly, I like the scene with John Hamm. I like to see more of him in the movie, but it didn't really add anything to me. I can't say I felt the same way that you did for a little while, that I liked this one better than the last time, where I was into it more, and then I wasn't. And then ultimately I realized it doesn't work for me. This movie just doesn't work for me. Yeah. I just don't care about the characters enough to make it work. I don't care about the directing to make it work. And I'm morbidly fascinated by a Snyder cut in our future.
Yeah. God damn it.
But the extended cut versus regular cut, I would definitely watch the extended cut if someone hasn't watched one of them. But I don't think it really improves it for me either way.
Well, one thing I had heard about the pending Snyder cut, if it is ever to be released, I guess, or put together, I don't know.
Who's clamoring for it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, the pieces are there. He just needs to assemble it or whatever.
Right.
But I guess the Snyder cut of the movie would take out the voiceover that is throughout the extended cut and the theatrical cut. And I think that's a wise choice, because that was my very first note on this rewatch of the previous week's rewatch, is like, this voiceover narration doesn't add anything. It sounds flowery. It sounds like a dumb guy's trying to be poetic, you know? Right. And I see you, you know, I get it. Don't do it.
Yeah. And apparently it was like a studio note that they were like, people aren't going to understand what's happening. And I wonder how much it'll help. And also, if we had watched this movie blind without the voiceover ever, that would be a whole different experience. We'll never have, because we know the movie with the voiceover and we know the plot enough. But I do wonder, I feel like I agree with you that wasn't that needed, and it would be a much better movie without it.
I was trying to watch it without that. Like, as it was playing on my TV, I was just patently ignoring it. I was like, oh, this is dumb. I don't need any of this. It doesn't add context like they think it does.
Right.
It's nothing. So I was watching it as if it were just like moving images on screen with like some score over it. And it seemed to work better. So maybe that was what made me latch onto this version of it, like a baby onto Carl's nipple. I latched onto it so much better this go round, because that like flowery narration, like I said, it doesn't add context to it. But when you first watch this movie, you're listening to it because it's like, oh, okay, tell me, like, this has to inform some of this film that I'm watching. No, not really. It's just a dumb guy with a half sleeve of tattoos trying to pretend like I'm smart. I did it. You know, I did this movie smart.
No, right.
It's not. It's really not. You know,
I also kind of ignored the narration definitely at the end when I was rewatching it or watching those ending scenes before the podcast. Mm-hmm. And it definitely helped. I wish I would have done what you did and kind of done that the whole time, though, because it pops up a lot, like a lot of those narrations do. And I am very intrigued about how that changes the whole tone of a movie and what you understand of the movie. Famously, there's so many cuts of Blade Runner, and there are various versions where there are voiceover or not. And people are very, like, some fans are like very staunchly like, no voiceover, that is such a better movie. And I'm like, yeah, but why? You know, what makes it that way? I'm not a big enough fan to watch all those versions yet of that one, but I'm curious to watch that too. And apparently I'm going to watch Sucker Punch one more time in my life, so.
What the worst film trilogy of all time, I think. What if we took the voiceover from Blade Runner, put it on this movie, and then like swap the Sucker Punch voiceover, put that on Blade Runner? What if it worked flawlessly? It was like Dark Side of the Moon and The Wizard of Oz. It's like perfect.
People understand Blade Runner in a whole new light.
Yeah.
That would be so fascinating. Well, I mean, yeah, because at the end, what I did pay attention to at the end from Sweet Pea, which is Abby Cornish's character in this, she's like the last one to speak, and she says something about if we have these fantasy worlds and we can fight for them, we can do it for ourselves than the real world or some shit. Mm-hmm. Again, like you said, it's like flowery bullshit, but that might work for you know, Blade Runner too. So I don't know. Interesting.
I thought when I was watching this movie, like back in the day when it first came out, I was like, man, this soundtrack fucking rules. Like it. And I talked about it on the previous episode that I would listen back to the soundtrack because there are a few different like mashups or remixes or alternate versions of songs I'm familiar with that sounded cool. And I was like, oh, okay, I kind of dig this. But now when I watch this, I'm like, this would have just been better with score. They should have just like made a score out of this because I don't think the sounds of like certain instruments hold up well enough with the visuals. It sounded like what it sounded like in 2011, but since it's, you know, changed over time, I do kind of worry with a movie like the Spider-Verse movies. They've got some like hip hop songs in there and whatnot, and they're cool now, but I'm worried that maybe over time they sound, you know, kind of corny or whatever.
Oh, that's interesting. What about I mean, like, I love pop songs and lots of movies though that I associate with them in good ways. I just think that these were bad covers of those songs a lot of times. Well, and Sucker Punch.
No.
No, Steven, you are wrong.
I still like the songs. I just don't think it necessarily goes with the visual component of it. And also, right. I feel like this was on the cusp of something that's more prevalent in movies and movie trailers now, where you've got like a song that it was popularized back in the day by a band with a male singer is now being covered with a female singer, but it's slowed down and soft, you know.
I feel like he was kind of a pioneer of that era. I can't remember exactly why, but
yeah,
maybe his trailers as well, you know.
I think like, so. Because like Watchmen was the same way, I think.
Yes, that, Watchmen was the same way. Yeah.
Smashing Pumpkins song. But yeah, I just it wasn't holding up for me, and I thought, hey, you know, maybe just the score could have helped.
I agree with that.
It could have like not hindered it, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like
unless I put like
a
Limp Bizkit over it, then I would be like, hell yeah!
Oh
Eddie.
Man,
it's fucking Behind old time, eyes. Bro. Yeah. No, what? No, Steven, no.
That's the only Limp Bizkit song I know you mentioned Mission Impossible 2, and I blocked that movie out, so I just forgot about it. But I connect Limp Bizkit with Gothica. Did you ever see Gothica?
I'm trying not to get mad, Steven. I know you don't mean to. It's like one of their like worst covers from their worst album. Oh boy, this was a mistake. Sucker Punch has done this to us.
Hey, that was a Sucker Punch in your Limp Bizkit, wasn't it?
Oh boy. Yeah, Gothica. Yes, I have seen it. Yeah. What a wild movie. What a wild music video, too, where Fred Durst was like, okay, we're going to tie this into the theme of the movie, all right?
Right.
Halle Berry, you're going to be like a person who's in like a padded cell, and I'm also going to be there. And then, hear me out, we make out. Okay, just, I am the director. It's going to happen, you know?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's
the balls on Durst, you know?
This actually has a lot of connections because this is probably why I went to that and thought that that's the song would be in this movie if you brought Limp Bizkit on, because that also is a movie about otherworldly things and like not believing what you see, and there's like you know, psychiatric facility involved and all that kind of stuff. And it is also a movie when Gothica came out, I remember being really enthralled with it. I thought it's a really twisty, cool story. I remember being like, man, this is really neat. And then I watched it probably a long time ago now, but I watched it, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, and I hadn't seen it since it came out, like in the early 2000s. And I was like, oh my God, this movie's terrible. And it was like one of those movies that I have both memories in my head now. I remember liking it and I remember hating it. But like, if I never watched it again, I can at least kind of like it. and remember those good times. But yeah, that's another one that I revisited and I was like, oh, I don't want to ever watch this again.
You know, I will say, as much as like I'm not a fan of that Limp Bizkit song, it's a cover by The Who, I believe.
Oh yeah, maybe, I don't even know.
I will say the end of that song has DJ Lethal, again from Limp Bizkit. He's scratching L-I-M-P.
That's right.
Discover. And like that speak and spell voice was the impetus for us making the LTAS tag at the end of each episode. So
I thought you liked that song because of that.
Oh.
And honestly, I think I like that song. I don't listen to that song. I haven't heard it in years, but I think I liked it when it came out because I liked Gothica when it came out. I don't know.
Well, you know what? You start out with Behind Blue Eyes and then we ratchet you all the way up to, Roland, you know?
Oh,
there are two different flavors of Roland. Are you aware of this?
I have heard that there are two. I feel like I remember that back in the day on the radio even.
Rock version's most popular, but there is a hip-hop version with Redman, Method Man, and DMX.
Yeah. See, I do remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, sometimes you just got to get that limp out.
Exactly.
How do fans say, I got a biscuit today? What do you say when you're like, I got to rock out to my biscuit?
I mean, I think you just said it. I think you coined it, put it on a shirt, and sell that bad boy.
Not going to wear it, though, because I don't wear shirts with logos, except for today.
Yes.
With the music by John Carpenter. Do you have anything else to say about Sucker Punch?
I do. I'll try to make this quick. It's not anything that's wildly important, but I will say that Jenna Malone, you had mentioned this on the previous episode.
Yeah.
You had mentioned that you thought she's very pretty. I will say, first time I watched this, I like her now. When I first saw this movie, I thought, who is this? Like, there's a whole slew of beautiful women, and I was like, not into her, I'll say. Because I thought the makeup team or whomever did her a wild disservice.
Oh, I agree with that.
Because it looks like her like teeth are black the entire time. Like what? Mm-hmm. What kind of like troll
like
monster
kind of
they got in this
pixie
movie?
Cut.
It was kind of wild. And then like later on after the movie had come out, I looked up images of her. I was like, oh, she's like a regular like pretty woman.
Oh yeah.
But not like what?
Walking
like it was like choices made, you know. But she's like one of the main cast members. They're gonna like do her dirty by making her look dirty in this movie. It's fucked up, honestly.
It is fucked up.
Yeah.
I agree with that. They did Jenna dirty, and I don't like it.
I'm starting to think this patriarchy thing is not a great idea, Steven. Like, I can't believe we were allowed to get away with this for such a long time.
It's the first time I've had that thought.
Yeah. Never mind, it's gone now. We're back.
Sucker Punch did it, of all things.
But, man, I will say, I am a Jamie Chung fan all the way, especially in this movie.
Right.
Just the entire time. I was just was glued to the screen in more ways than one. You know what I'm saying, brother? Hell yeah. Let's see. My other notes were just like, is the dancing in this movie actually stupid? We've kind of addressed it. The answer is yes. The plot of this movie, I don't really know. It seems like it's kind of like a Jacob's Ladder type scenario in a way. Mm-hmm. I think maybe on the, I guess both versions are like this. Because it seems like in the, when the movie starts, we're in the real world and she, baby doll gets taken to this home, right? It's like an insane asylum.
Are you trying to dissect
the
plot right now?
Well, I'm just trying to say, it seems like
you can't do it.
She gets taken to an asylum. Mm-hmm. She in the asylum, she sees the girl who ends the movie. What was her name?
Sweet Pea.
Sweet Pea. She sees Sweet Pea. She's about to get John Hammed right in the fucking face.
Right.
And then the movie cuts to a different reality that we're into. And this is like where it's like slightly spruced up asylum, but with there's like dancing, and then they go into like a third fantasy realm. But then, like by the time we get to the end of the movie, we hear a tink And then Baby Doll got hammed right in the eye.
Mm-hmm. And like now hammed in the eye.
Yeah. So really everything we see between the two Tinks is just made up shit, right?
Potentially. Like
inconsequential, just made up shit.
You could even argue, I've seen argued, the very first shot of the movie is of Baby Doll on a stage. So people have also argued this entire thing is just a play, or it's a play in her head. Or, more importantly, I think you're right, that it's like it's the split second of her reliving her life, or a fantasy life, in the moment that she was being lobotomized. Tamed,
interesting.
As you say.
If the whole thing was a play, it's kind of like what people say about Super Mario Brothers 3, where it's like, oh, this whole video game was just a play. You know, you have the curtain open up at the beginning.
I was like, what?
He runs off stage at the end of it.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, Sucker Punch and Super Mario 3.
Yeah.
I know which one I'd rather spend time with.
Yeah. You're going to jack off to both, but you're really going to spend more time with the other, you know?
I like plumbers.
You know? Yeah. You got to get up in that warp pipe, you know?
Yeah.
That was, you know, that's kind of just it. But I guess my last thing I'll say is this movie just a dumb and horny Inception? And I think it's kind of yes.
Yeah, I think so. I think you nailed it.
Do you think this is what Christopher Nolan, he saw this movie as like, by Jove, I've got a much better idea.
Yeah, and he did. And it was I haven't watched Inception in a while too. I feel like I would watch that now and just be like, I don't know. It would be like eating my favorite ice cream in the whole world, or eating a cockroach. It's like those are my two options, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can guess which one's Inception, you know. So ice cream, baby. I can't say that I'm glad we watched this again, but I do like started watching stuff for the show, and in the future, if we begrudgingly have to finish out this trilogy, this fucked up trilogy, and watch the Snyder Cut version of it, I will be glad then to have known all three versions.
Right.
So,
And then, of course, like in preparation to watch the Snyder Cut, we'll have to rewatch the theatrical, rewatch the extended, then
I'm shutting this podcast down. This is it. 349 episodes. We can't do anymore, Brent. You are a super villain. I don't know what happened.
This is the last one, you know?
You will not make me do that. I refuse.
No, I can't. I won't. I will. Probably. Maybe.
You're so fucked up. You motherfucker.
I'm a bit of an Oscar Isaac. God. Remember when he like kills like the two non-white girls like off screen?
Oh, yeah.
In the movie? That's fucked up. You know?
That is fucked up. Yeah. And it was your love, one of them, so super fucked up. Well, we don't have anything to really announce, do we?
No, I mean, like, this 349, you know, 350s coming up. I did get, like, some weird email from Big Podcast earlier today. I was going to talk to you, like, after we were done recording today what we want to do next episode. But Big Podcast, Sarah, a Big Podcast, sent an email, and she said to not worry about 350. She says she's got it under control. I guess she's...
I thought, okay.
Yeah. So whatever happens on 350 is what happens on 350. It's much like Vegas. You don't talk about it. You don't ever tell anyone. And then you rate it 5 stars.
That is a good thing for Vegas. Well, okay, we'll see what happens, man. I don't know. We don't know. Obviously, we just said you right now. We don't know, so it will be as surprised as everyone else here. But definitely come back next week, next Tuesday for episode 350. I can't believe we've made it that far, but we'll see what Big Podcast has in store for us. So
yeah, it'll be interesting.
Maybe,
you know,
we won't. Mm-hmm. Well, really looking forward to that, and even for us, because we don't know. So as Brent said, if you'd like to rate and review us on your favorite podcast apps, 5 stars is always appreciated. You can contact us on Instagram if you'd like to connect with us in any sort of way, but otherwise, we just listen and fuck off. And thanks. I mean, thanks for listening, but fuck off. You know? All right, Brett, anything else for you today?
No.
All right, man. Well, we did it. Mm-hmm. We did it. Sucker punched ourselves right in the nuts. So,
hey, you know, yeah,
dream.
We did.
That's the dream. Well, until
sweet
next time.
Sweet dreams are made of this, Steven.
Are we gonna have to put a fucking slow down cover of that now? On this
I think so.
Ending?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, until next time. I'm Steven.
I'm Brent.
And let's talk later.
Ghost facci.
'Thing, Brent, I'm gonna write this timestamp right here down because right before the show, as I always do, I went through and I tried to empty my computer of all of its bloat and excess, and I did, and it just told me it didn't work, and I only have 3 gigabytes left on my computer. It's gonna shut this down at any moment, so it's good, right? That's the episode so far.
That's what you like to hear and
That's
see,
great.
You know?
Yeah,
in the middle of a record.
The trash is empty. I'm gonna write this down, but I'm gonna edit it out. Maybe this will be a true outtake. We haven't had one of those in quite a while.
Ooh, yeah.
So I'm okay. Gonna just hang with me, hang tight, real quick. I'm gonna try to see what the fuck is happening.
Okay. All right.
So silly. You know why?
Yeah, I don't understand computers. It's like you have enough memory, just remember it. You know.
Just remember it. I remember. Some things. If you put it that way, I actually feel kind of bad because I don't remember shit.
Oh, do you remember Ghost Facci? Oh, God, that was a good time. Uh-huh.
I tried to do it with my, like, what?
Wait.
I don't even know, man. That's fucking fucked up. Okay, seriously, I don't know why this is so packed full of shit.
Yeah, that's weird. Mm-hmm. Unless you're like, because you don't have access to streaming pornography down there in Texas, you've been onboarding
a lot more pornography. I got gigabytes of proof of that, brother.
Like, if Texas doesn't want to have to deal with abortions, maybe just let guys watch porn, you know, squeeze off a nut. Sadly,
squeeze off a nut.
Yeah, squeeze off a sad nut and then clear your mind, refocus, and then get back to work or, you know, whatever other normal things you were supposed to do, you know?
It's like they think if we show them porn, they're going to want to go out and just, like, grab all the boobies. And it's like, no, that's just a bad thing to do. And just watch porn and then get out of your system.
Right, right.
Seems easy. All right. I hooked up something. I'm gonna try to do something. This is so dumb. I hate this is happening. I really tried, you know. I said I go through every week and I'm like, yeah, get rid of this, and I deleted all the old episodes we had just done. And it said I had 8 gigabytes, and then now it's recording and it says I have 3 gigabytes. And I'm like, why did you fill it with more gigabytes?
I mean, that outtakes conversation we had was pretty stellar, so I was like, oh fuck.
I know.
This must be preserved.
All downhill from here.
Even though it's only your half of the conversation.
Right.
It must be pristine.
It must be. Okay. It's just like, I don't know what to do. All right. So the best, I mean, I honestly, there's nothing to delete. Like, everything I have on here is in the cloud. It's not on my computer anymore.
How weird.
I have no idea, like, what is on here that is making this, like, so big.
Well,
so I think we should have to kind of record.
Yeah, just power through the best we can.
And just hope it all right. Kind of, let me eject this. You hear that?
Sam, you must save the AllSpark, Sam.
Oh, no.
Sam, which wiki?
That's the way you say it, just perfection. Quit.
Megatron, get a life, bitch.
Did you hear we were talking about Chris Hemsworth a second ago? And, yeah. He got cast as Optimus Prime in like a movie, like a animated movie coming up?
Yeah. What was it? Like all the... God, the different movie studios had a presentation thing throughout the last week.
Uh-huh.
And Paramount's sounds interesting to me. Mm-hmm. They're putting out like a couple of Transformers movies, you know?
Okay.
One is a live action continuation from Rise of the Beasts that came out last year or whatever. And it's supposed to have Scarlett Johansson in it. And then the other one, the Chris Hemsworth one, is him and Brian Tyree Henry, who will play Megatron. But they're voice acting. It's supposed to be like a CGI animated origin movie.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I was like, I don't know. And then I read about it. It's supposed to be like back on Cybertron when Optimus and Megatron were friends and it shows they're falling out and all that stuff. I'm like, okay, that sounds intriguing to mm-hmm. me. You know, a fallen friendship, something that you and I will have eventually.
I still need to watch that movie. What is that, the Irish one that you told me about?
The Banshees of Inisherin. I do think about it. I was literally thinking about this last week, and I was like, it's a lot. I can't. Like, most of the time, movies don't affect me in a way where I'm like, I just can't, you know?
Right.
I'm usually kind of up for whatever. But, man, just the premise of a best friend just, like, straight up ghosting you out of the blue. Oh, my God. it's bleak.
Heartbreak.
It really is. Yeah, it is very good, though. I would recommend it to people, but it's if you have friends, it might be a rough watch, you know?
But, yeah, sometimes sometimes those hard movies are okay, though, because it's just a movie. And, yeah. You know, it's still entertaining to watch because it's great acting and great directing and writing and all that mm-hmm. stuff. So,
yeah,
I'm with you, man.
So let's record on a one and a two and a one, two, three record.
Okay.
This is coming to you. Easy listening. KL Tass. Mm. Have you ever wanted to hear what Barry White would sound like if he were just, I don't know, Barry Manilow? It's a story of two Barrys is basically what this is. We have that coming up. After that, got a call from... I almost got way too real there for a second, Steve.
Oops.
Uh-oh.
I was like, got a call from whom? I'm so excited.
Nope.
Is he your dog, Miles?
This is from my dog, Miles. There coming right up. He's calling me to tell me... I almost went back to the same well.
All right.
Oh, boy. This will be funny to listeners, you know, 6 months from now.
Maybe, yeah.
They'll understand, yeah.
I'm going to give them a hint, though. It involves your pants and chocolate pudding.
Well, look, they call me Daniel Pudding Bottom for a reason, Steven, and...
Daniel Pudding Bottom, is that the radio host of KL Tass?
Hi, it's me, Daniel Pudding Bottom. Sorry. Yeah. The show programmer has instructed me to put a microphone by my butt. Oh, God.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Maybe Daniel Pudding Bottom is not the correct host for KL Tass. Maybe we... Honestly, that was weird because that wasn't Daniel. That was Brent just having a nervous toot.
Look, I...
That was a real-life event.
I will admit, I took a nap about an hour and a half before we started recording tonight, and I was feeling kind of tired and sluggish, so I whipped open a can of refried beans and just pounded that bad boy,
baby.
You know?
Back like we used to do in the day?
Oh, my God, you know? You ever butt-chugged refried beans?
Ooh, on a hot Oklahoma afternoon.
Oh, my God, there's nothing more refreshing.
You get up, you mow the lawn. Crack up on a can of beans.
That's right.
Roll up on your neck, put your butt in the air, and slam that can on back on down to Pudding Town.
Oh, man.
It's a beautiful thing.
You call your neighbors over, have them hold your ankles, and spritz some lemon into your butt.
Seems like that would burn. You burns know, in your eyes, burns in your brown eye. What do you think?
Yeah, it does. It does. But it's like a good burn, you know?
Okay, yeah.
It's a cool heat.
It's something you like.
It's, you know, it's an acquired taste, but once you have the taste.
Oh, baby. Hey, Brent, you know what happened to me last night?
What's that?
Very exciting news. I went to my very first quinceañera.
Oh.
I'm 15 years old, apparently, and I am a woman.
Well.
If you like quinceañeras.
Right?
They play that one? Honestly make that song and play it there. It was amazing, man. I gotta admit, we went for it was my wife's coworker's daughter turned 15, and
wow.
Her husband is Mexican, and so in their culture they have quinceañeras, and this is like a thing I've heard about in Texas, but I'd never been to, and I'd never been to a Sweet 16 either. Like I remember that show, my Super Sweet 16.
Oh, yeah. Pure nightmare fuel.
Pure nightmare fuel now.
God
it
damn.
Was then, but it definitely now. But yeah, and then the quinceañera thing is like similar, a different age, but you know, it's kind of like your big birthday, you're becoming a woman or whatever. But it was fun, man. It's like, you know, we had a dance floor, we had some pasta, open bar. That's always good times. And it was a lot of fun. I played with a bunch of fucking kids. Kids like me. I like kids. One of them reminded me of my little niece Aurora. Her name is Alice, and she was adorable. Mm-hmm. And then her brothers and some other little kiddos. And once I gave them any attention, man, they were all over me. I would try to play like, let's dance, let's do like a conga line, and they'd be like, cool, we're gonna tackle you. So it was fun, and I had a good time. But I got sweaty.
I'm sure, yeah.
But man, you ever been to a quinceañera before?
I've never been, but I feel like if I did go. It would be confusing because they'd be like,
they just start speaking to me in Spanish. What's
up? Yeah, they're speaking to me in Spanish. I'm like, no,
ASA.
I don't do it. Like I, around other, brown people who are not Indian.
Right.
Like from India, I become the whitest person you've ever heard of.
Right.
It's like, I'm sorry, sir. I do not speak this language. Do you call it? No, yo say.
Oh my God, that's me. Have you ever thought about learning Spanish?
Just I thought about it. Just to really like fuck with people.
Right.
It's like, because it happens a lot. You know, I live in Oklahoma, the closest brown territory to where I am positioned on this earth is Mexico. So it seems like a natural thing to just assume I'm Hispanic, but I'm not. Mm-hmm. But I want to be able to chastise people for being like, wow. Just because I'm brown, you think I'm Spanish? And then, like, yell to somebody behind me in Spanish, just, right. like, fluent as fuck, and then turn back around to them. Do we understand each other? You know? Really, like, give them a dressing down.
I think it would actually be quite amazing. I watched this guy on YouTube named Shauma, and he is an American New Yorker, but he went to school in Beijing. And so he really knows like the Chinese language really well. He knows like 40 languages, kind of. And he can kind of just speak really well. He learns online. And his YouTube channel, he just goes around to different markets and he'll let them talk about him, like as the white foreigner and stuff. And then he'll speak like fluent Chinese. And they are like, you sound like you're from China. Like, what the fuck? Like, he's really good. And it's so funny. He's got a really good personality. But it's so funny because he gets talked about a lot. He went around. There's a whole video he has where he has a tattoo on his arm that says Kung Pao Chicken in the Chinese letters. And all these, oh, it's so funny. All these different people walking by would be like, Kung Pao Chicken. And then he would be, I feel like that was racist. Fuck. I was just trying to actually like portray a different character there. But
sure. They
would say that. And he would look over and be like, oh, what's wrong? What'd you just say? And they're like, oh, nothing. And then he would speak in fluent Chinese to them and be like, what's wrong with Kung Pao Chicken? It's really delicious. And they're like, oh my God. And it's so funny. So yeah, I think if you went kind of undercover brother, brown brother.
Yeah.
Then it could be fun, man.
Okay. Well, you know what? I might do it. That is the most practical language for me to be able to speak, again, just based on where I live.
It'd be useful
geographically, you know, but
yeah. I've always thought about it. Oklahoma and Texas. There's so many people that would be useful just to, you know, communicate a little bit.
Yeah, but Stephen, you know me. I have a severe disdain for learning.
That's true.
I don't care for it. I'm in my forgetting things phase, my forgetting things era, one might say.
Oh, yeah.
This is my own era's tour, and that is just being old and not taking on new tasks.
That's lovely.
Not for me. Mm-hmm. It's not for me.
I agree with that. I understand. That's fine. That's cool. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when you were in school, I can't remember if we've ever talked about this. When you were in school, did you
have Escuela.
To, did you have Default. To... did you have to learn a foreign language at any point? Was it like a class for you?
Yeah. So when I was in high school, I had a year of Spanish.
Oh, okay. You did Spanish. Okay.
I barely fucking passed that thing. I was so fucking over it because I didn't have any friends in that class.
Oh, shit.
And because of that, like, all the, like, friend groups were already, like, established by, like, on my first day.
Wow.
And they, you know, first day of school, you want to get that backseat of the class, right? So that was all taken. Mm-hmm. Only place I had was, like, right up front. Damn. And it was me and my teacher, Senora Tobin. You know, she's not going to listen to this. she, like, for the first, like, 3 weeks of class, anytime she would speak Spanish, she would look at me to, like, co-sign the things. I'm like, bruh, I can't help you. Like, I don't know the shit. I don't know.
I was going to say, maybe the other kids were just afraid of you because they were like, this kid's a ringer. He's obviously going to get an A in this class. And then you're I got nothing.
I was terrible. Yeah. Like we had to like partner up mm-hmm. with someone. So we would have like, I don't know, like once a week, we would have to have like a conversation back and forth in Spanish. And I was just sandbagging the fuck out of that team. I'm so sorry to the girl I had partnered up with. But it was rough. I feel like I would have a better understanding of it now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, back then I was just like, couldn't retain my focus enough to be able to cement the knowledge in my brain. Yeah,
I took Spanish from fucking sixth grade until 10th grade.
God damn.
And I couldn't, I mean, like, I can kind of listen to it. I can say a few words and stuff, but I feel like at least the school environment I was in for that was, it's not really that great for learning. It's just kind of like one of six or eight other classes that I'm taking. And I'm like, this teacher clearly has never even been to Mexico. She sounds nothing like I have ever heard any actual Spanish speakers talk. Mm-hmm. And it always felt like that's partly why I feel bad about the accent of trying to make it sound better. Like, that's what that guy Shama is so good at. He's like, he can talk like them. And I always feel like mine is so Americanized. And if I try to say it real, I just feel like, oh, am I making fun of you?
Yeah. I mean, like, if you've ever watched the Food Network where the host is of some type of foreign background, and they, or maybe they speak another language, whenever they go to, like, they talk about their, the food from Italy or, you know, from Mexico or whatever, they speak, like, perfect, like, television English, but then they will get to like that food item and they pronounce it in that native tongue just like briefly. It's like for that couple of syllables and then they're like snap back. It's disconcerting. That's like, I feel like I'm
though, yeah.
I've stepped into a new reality briefly and get shunted back immediately. It's like, and today we're going to prepare three tacos and I've got this amazing recipe, you know.
That was good because I thought I knew what you meant, but I needed an example, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, I went to a Mexican restaurant 2 hours ago. At most, it's like, I don't want, in my head, I want to say those words right, if I can, and as much as I could. Like, I want to say tacos, you know, and that just sounds so fun. And it's
right,
like, right, queso. I feel like
that's bad. Puss in boots.
But it's like, I want to, like, burrito. Uh-huh. You know, roll those R's.
Yeah,
but I've always felt self-conscious about it in real life. So
it feels patronizing to do something like that, you know. And it's not just like
dumb, but
for like Mexican stuff. It's also like, and then what you want to do is smooth out your ricotta cheese, and you know,
that's good.
It's
or like I'm eating spaghetti tonight. You know, yeah.
Oh, right. Of course.
You
like
feel
anytime
like you're making fun of them.
Like when you're at home, you're like taking notes. You're like, oh yeah,
spaghetti.
Waluigi spaghetti. Okay. You know, I was hanging out with our friends Liz and Allison earlier today, and they were talking or speaking Spanish, kind of back and forth, not like full conversations or whatever, but you know, it kind of got peppered in. And it is very impressive to like hear and see your friends do this, but also they're like, very smart in general.
Mm-hmm. They are. Yep.
You know, I'm fine when it's like a group of us or whatever.
But then, like, dumb.
Yeah. Like, it's like it really like sets in on me. It's like, oh, I'm dumb now, but I'm also like dumb because I didn't retain anything from school, like nothing from school other than like grudges from my past, you know,
that one STD probably, that stuck with you.
Yeah.
And I've
never even had sex before. Yeah, exactly. But you saw what that toilet seat was wearing, Steven.
Oh, boy.
I sat on that one on purpose.
Brent can't
you know?
Resist a toilet seat. So everybody
oh, my
that.
God.
Everybody knows that about Brent.
Oh, sorry. Refried beans are coming back
that
to
was,
haunt
that was
me.
Just a mating call for you.
Oh, it really is, you know? Sometimes I walk by a women's bathroom, just put my ear to the floor, you know?
Talk to me, gurgly pipes. I need it. It sounded more like a close-up dog, like...
Yeah, that's what... Yeah.
Man, that's a dog ever, in the pipes.
If you ever hear a woman's bowels just right...
Oh, oh my God.
Steven, I have some YouPorn videos I need to send your way.
I can't watch them.
You can't watch YouPorn either? It's
I
not just Pornhub? What?
Yeah, there's like a... God, there's like on Reddit, there's like a Red GIFs or something like that. That even fucking shut down.
What?
Yeah. We're trying to get rid of abortions. We can't look at porn. I'm pretty sure I'm being prescribed a gun for my doctor. So I don't know what the fuck's going on down here.
You go to the doctor because you have the sniffles and you're like, how many guns do you have? None. Oh, here you go.
Sounds like you're a pussy then. Here you go.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no serial number on this. Oh, you can just write your own. It's fine. You don't have to do that here. Just take it home.
I'm a doctor.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Thanks for coming to see me, Dr. Bullets.
I should have known. You know? I should have known the whole time. Right there in front of me. I want to say real quick that I was curious during this conversation to take a step back. I was like, spaghetti. In native Italian. I was like, you know, it is an Italian dish. It's called that, and that's what we call it. We didn't, you know, whatever. But I was like, do they have a different name in Spanish for it? So I looked it up, and I'm
spaghetti.
Close. I'm going to spell this out real quick. ESPAGUETIS. My guess is aspaghetti's.
Aspaghetti's,
but it starts with an E. Aspaghetti's. But I'm gonna see if I can play it real quick through my little microphone here.
Spaghetti's.
Spaghetti's. Hey, you were right.
Hey, look at that. Yeah. See, so sometimes those little things come back. So I don't know. I wondered if you might want to sync with spaghetti's.
Spaghetti's sounds like the perfect version of that. So,
all right, man,
let's sync with spaghetti's on three.
Good.
We're definitely getting canceled for this, right? We have two other cultures coming after us.
Yeah, we're fucked. We're fucked for sure.
We get sued, but it's by like the People's Republic of China. It's like, what the huh?
It's because I talked about Shama.
Yeah,
I did it, man. Fuck,
man. Fucking Shin came after our fucking asses. God damn. All right. All right. So spaghetti's. Wait, what? Which one is it?
Spaghetti's.
Spaghetti's. Okay. Yeah. All right. Spaghetti's to sink on three. One, two, three.
Spaghetti's. Oh, you kind of went Italian with it.
Yeah.
Or did you? I don't know.
We can never tell.
That's
you know?
The problem.
It is interesting. Like, it was late in life where I realized that, like, Spanish and Italian have a lot of similarities. I was like, oh, wow, how interesting. They, you know, from Italy all the way to Mexico. And I thought, oh, well, it's called Spanish because it is, like,
right.
from Spain. And they're, like, right there near each other. And it's just, you know.
You know, that happens to all of us, those little moments where you make that connection for the first time. And then you trace it back and you're like, oh, wow, I'm a dum-dum. But it's just, you're not. It's just that you just never had the pathway to make that connection.
We didn't have that knowledge afforded to us in my tiny little dirt school. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's what happens in dirt schools.
That's, you know, I've been saying it for years.
Oklahoma
dirt schools creates fools.
Hey. You know? Mm-hmm. Go to Oklahoma education.
Present.
P-A-M.